This morning, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Joshua chapter 1, we're starting a new series today on the book of Joshua, and the series is entitled Inheriting the Land. And the scripture I'd like to share to begin our series is from the first 9 verses of chapter 1 of the entire book of Joshua. Verse 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Let's bow our hearts together and ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's Word together. Father, we thank you so much in the holy and precious name of Jesus for the goodness and grace of God in our lives. This morning we thank you for the gift of our salvation, and as been testified, we thank you for the privilege of serving you and declaring your glory to others. Dear Lord, this morning as we go to the Word of God, we once again ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fill this room. May you, dear God, give words to this, your speaker today. May we all have ears to hear what your Holy Spirit is saying. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. As I mentioned, we are taking time to talk about the book of Joshua. And the reason we're taking time to talk about Joshua is we want to talk about what the inheritance is of the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to Jesus when we ask Jesus Christ to come into our lives, when we confess Him as our, not only our Savior, as our Lord. The Bible tells us in the book of Romans we receive the Spirit of adoption. We become the sons and the daughters of God. And there's so much to say regarding that. I mean, there's so much to our relationship with Jesus, but that's one of the most important. We become God's children. And with that sonship or that daughtership comes also the assurance of an inheritance. Now, there's one thing, and you know, when we're talking about inheritance, we're praying with and we're walking with Rosanna. And we also want to remember you, Rosanna, because it's still been very, very recent since your parents have gone, and we want to pray for God's comfort and peace. But one of the things that you're contending for right now is your inheritance. And just as there are those who would seek, whether it's red tape or other things, to keep you from your inheritance, so there are things in our lives as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that are trying to keep us from our inheritance. We have an inheritance that is guaranteed. But I dare say this morning, and I believe I can say with authority, there are not only things that are hindering us or trying to keep us from our inheritance. There are many believers in the Lord Jesus Christ who are not walking in their inheritance. Which brings us to Joshua and why we're studying Joshua. And one of the reasons we as New Testament believers study the Word of God and study the Old Testament, and in particular, as we're doing this morning, studying the spiritual life of the nation of Israel, that they went through the things that they went through so that we could learn about God and how to live for the Lord Jesus Christ today. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 bears that out. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the culmination of the ages has come, and is talking about Israel and Israel's history. Now, if we remember the story of the Israelites as far as their beginnings in the land of Egypt, which became, initially was a land of safety and rescue, but became a land of bondage. In the land of Egypt, Israel became a great nation. But they were people who were bound. And as they cried out to God, God heard their cries. God sent them a deliverer. And through this deliverer, God delivered the nation of Israel from the land of Egypt, from the land of bondage, or from the state of bondage, to the land of promise. A land which was their own, a land which not only belonged to them, would be identified with them, and still is today. And they went through many hardships through the wilderness wanderings, but then finally, after the death of Moses, the waters of the River Jordan parted, and Israel marched across into the land of promise. There was a little problem there. There were a bunch of people who were living there who did not know God, who did not love God, who did very evil and very wicked things. And it was the responsibility of the Israelites to drive out the inhabitants of the land who were defiling the land by their wicked deeds and by their godlessness, so that they could possess the land. Many of us here, and when I say that, I'm not just speaking about those of us in this room, but many within the body of Christ have experienced the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, but have not yet conquered the land of their inheritance. And what I mean by that, they're falling short today as far as what God, by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, what God has provided for them. And so we're going to take time, because I believe the book of Joshua gives us insight as far as how we as New Testament believers can live in our inheritance today. And not only today, but our inheritance which is to come, which we'll talk about as we progress through the message, or the series of messages that we're talking about. But three things today, just generally as far as the series, and then we'll get into the specifics of what we want to talk about today. That being this: number one, our inheritance as far as looking at this portion of Scripture. And God said to Joshua, all this land, not some of this land, not 50%, not 75%, not 99%, 100% of this land is to be yours. Shows us that what Jesus Christ purchased for us on Calvary, 100% of it is for us. And I don't like to do this, but can I have an amen this morning?
Amen.
But also, just like the Israelites, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, can expect resistance as far as entering into or realizing or living in our inheritance. But bless God, one of the predominant phases of Joshua chapter 1 is be strong and very courageous. We should not fear, even though there is adversity, because through God we shall overcome every adversity. And to that, may God's people say, amen. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. But before we talk about that, and we're next Sunday's message, the Lord willing, although I might speak on an unrelated issue, just break up our series for a week. But the Lord willing, next week or the next message in this series of messages, we're going to talk about our commission and look a little more closely at chapter 1. I think the question that we need to ask ourselves and search the Bible for and allow God's Word to tell us as far as what it is what actually is the inheritance that we should be living in that some of us might not be experiencing? I think a lot of people, because we can't really get our inheritance or live in our inheritance or understand what our inheritance is unless we truly know what it is or how the Bible defines it. So let's begin today first by looking at that word inheritance and seeing what it actually means. And literally what it means is it is both in the context of the Israelites as they were coming into the land of Canaan, but also today in everyday life, it's to take possession of. You know, and Roseanne, forgive me for using you today, but you know, this is what you're going through, and so it's very relatable to us. But you're in the process of taking possession of the lands of your parents, the property of your parents. It's to take possession of it. And the reason why you can do that is because it is your legal right. You are a daughter of your parents, and so that land is yours. And that is the idea that God is trying to communicate to us regarding our inheritance. And may I say, and I almost should have said this last week, although we had Teen Challenge here last week, this morning, although we're launching off from Joshua chapter 1, we're actually taking time to look at Ephesians chapter 1 and 2 because it talks about the inheritance of the believer. And so because we're not flipping through the screen, if you'd like to turn to the book of Ephesians, we're going to be looking at things. But what we're talking about this morning is taking possession of that which we are entitled to because we are the sons and the daughters of God. And the things that we are to be walking in and living in, the things that Jesus Christ has purchased for us, are number one of divine nature. Hallelujah. Amen? Amen. This world is not our own. We're just passing through. And may I say in a moment, I'm going to talk about what our inheritance is not. And let me tell you what isn't. And, you know, Bob and Cindy, as you were testifying earlier, you were actually sharing a lot of what I'm sharing today. So it's good to see that we're all kind of in the spirit together this morning. But it isn't lands and gold. Amen? And in fact, as far as lands and gold, and there's nothing wrong with money. I mean, you know, you need to buy food and all that, you know, rent or mortgage or whatever. But what God has for us, even not only in the future, but even now, so far surpasses any lands or gold that you might want to have here or that this world has to offer. So it's something divine, but it's also something eternal. How many of you remember that song? This is a real oldie. So Roseanne, look at you. I'm not Roseanne this morning, my goodness. It was a song we used to sing when I was just a kid. I got something that the world can't give and the world can't take away. You remember that one? I got something the world can't give, and it keeps me day by day. I got something worth talking about. Makes me sing, makes me shout. A lot of truth in that. I was going to say a little ditty. That little chorus. The inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal, and no one can take it away from you. Bless God. That's not a reason to dance. I don't know what is. But let me tell you, and I'm going to explain to you this morning, in addition to, you know that stuff, we don't even have to worry about it. We should worry about that stuff, and we don't have to worry about, you know, money and land and possessions and things. God takes care of it. We just need to concentrate on serving Jesus.
Yeah, true.
Let me tell you also what our inheritance is not, although it's something that's very, very important and something that we have to catch the vision for. And it's generally two things. Number one, our inheritance is not the nations. And what I mean by that, it is not, and I see this in Scripture, believing God that the church will possess the nations. Our goal or our calling as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying we shouldn't believe God for God to move in nations, for God to save people in nations, save nations and have nations that the majority of the people there love and serve Jesus. And I'm not even saying that Christians shouldn't participate in government. It would be good if they did, as long as they can maintain their integrity. And let me tell you, any place of authority, it's hard to maintain your integrity, especially in world government, whether it be local, state, national, or what's coming, international. But the nations are not our inheritance. The nations are the inheritance of the Lord. And right along with that, people are not inheritance. Are people important to Jesus? Yes, they are. Should we be concerned with the eternal souls of people? Yes, we should, if we have the heart and mind of Christ. But people are not, as much as you might love them, they are not our inheritance. They're not our possession. Because people and the nations, including us, they are the inheritance of the Lord. Amen? And there's scriptures that point this out. In the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9 says, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is His allotted inheritance." And what that is saying is, yes, the land is yours, but the people are mine. They belong to me. Now, there's a number of reasons why this is important, that we understand that people are the inheritance of the Lord. And the primary reason for that is this. The only way anyone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ is by a sovereign move of God upon their hearts. Do we have a role in that? Yes, in sharing Jesus and in praying for them and praying with them. A person cannot come to Christ without God the Father calling, God the Holy Spirit convicting, baptizing, the message of Jesus. Only God deserves the glory. We are the inheritance of the Lord, as well as the nations. Psalm chapter 2. Now, important thing to realize in reading the Psalms, that some Psalms are referred to as messianic Psalms. And what that means is that they give us insight as far as the nature and the work and the position of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Sometimes we read this and we read this, in fact, we prayed this during our at the beginning of the year on our missions night. We're seeking God for God to move in as far as the world in missions, and it's for the nation. But winning the nations is not for the glory of the church or for the believer. It's for the glory of God. Psalm chapter 2, verse 8, "Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance and the ends of the earth your possession." The nations belong to God. We're to be a light to the Gentiles, a witness to the Gentiles. We are the light of the world. But we're not bringing the world to the church. We're bringing the world to Jesus so that they can become the church and become the glory of God. Very, very important. So that leads us to the question then, what is our inheritance? And I'm going to have to move quickly this morning because we were worshiping a good long time, which I love. And we have beautiful testimony and word of encouragement, which is wonderful. But unfortunately, the dawn. But I can go to probably 10 of if I need to, because I don't want to rush too quickly through
our message this morning. So stay tuned.
So what is our inheritance? Let's first look at the terms of our inheritance. It gives us insight and understanding to what our inheritance is all about. And the most important thing that we need to understand, which keeps us both humble and appreciative as far as what the inheritance is. In fact, let me use an illustration. And the illustration is from the book of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost son. And how that parable begins, there are two, there's a father, he has two sons, and the one son, I believe the younger son, wants his inheritance right now. Give me my inheritance right now. And what did he do with that inheritance? He took it and he squandered it. And the reason he squandered it is because he took his inheritance for granted. God help us. I think one reason why there's so much backsliding in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have people come through the doors, we have people come to the altars, we have people give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ genuinely, weeping, believing God, get up a brand new person in Jesus, and they gradually fade away. And one of the reasons, not the sole reason, but one of the reasons they gradually fade away is because they lose the sense of awe and appreciation and of priceless value of their salvation. That what they, the forgiveness and eternal life that they received from God came at the price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this is a little out of order, but it's very important that we understand. And the scripture that goes right along with it is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by what? By the blood of Christ. The blood of Jesus. So important. That's why we take communion. That's why Jesus instituted that way back before he was crucified. So you never forget that I gave my life so that you could become part of the family and receive this glorious inheritance. Very, very important. And so what does this give us? What can we expect now that we have been not only liberated from our sin, we are now sons and daughters of God. Number one, the terms of our inheritance, or one of the blessings, is closeness or intimacy with God. Let me ask a little question to you this morning. Where are you sitting? And now we've got new seats. And God help us, we'll never have, you know, this is CA1, CA2. You know, but we have individual seats now. But where are you seated this morning? And the answer to that is this. From Ephesians 2, verse 6. God raised us up with Christ. And this is present tense. This isn't something that will happen. This is something that's happening right here, right now in your life if you know Jesus. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's why we can say this morning, we stand in holy ground. Why? Because we're seated in heavenly places. We, even though physically we're on this planet called Earth, in the Spirit, we're seated in the very presence of God. And if that bears witness with you this morning, say amen. And that means a variety of things. And I loved what you both shared this morning, Bob and Cindy, about it being so fulfilling. And let me just add to that, although I have that actually later on this morning in the course of the message. One of the things this intimacy does on a very spiritually practical level, number one, it means when we pray,
Our prayer is very powerful and very personal. Amen?
Yes.
The Apostle Paul talks about or contrasts what the prayer of a non-believer is to that of someone who not only knows Jesus, but who's living in the power and the presence of their inheritance, that you are now seated in heavenly places with Jesus. Bless God! What that means, and let me share with you this morning. Sometimes I feel it more than other times, if I'm being honest with you. But I thank God I'm not serving God on my feelings. I'm serving God according to what the Word of God says. That's what living by faith is all about. Whether you feel it or not, what God's Word says is the reality. And the reality is this. When I'm praying, I'm literally sitting right next to Jesus. And whether I feel it or not, and sometimes I feel it, bless God, you can hardly stand it. But sometimes I know, God, you're out there. Doesn't matter. When I pray, because this is something that has been guaranteed to me in my inheritance, I am speaking directly to the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, the lover of my soul, but also the one who intercedes on my behalf to the Father, our great High Priest. Powerful, personal prayer. But also, and that's what I love, amen, and one of the things that I hope our church grows in, it's not a matter of growing, and whether we sing with Tapes or Henry, or whether we have just Henry, or whether we have a 10-person worship team or whatever, as far as worship, my desire is that we have closer encounters with the Holy Spirit. And one of the reasons I can, not only should we desire it, but we should expect it in the name of Jesus, is because we're seated in heavenly places. Amen? Which makes our praise so much more meaningful in the name of Jesus. And we're not just coming together and singing songs. We're not having, I don't have anything against, coming together and singing songs or people going to a Christian concert, whatever type of music, but when we worship, we're in the, old church, may we get a handle on this morning. We are in the literal presence of the Lord. Let me illustrate to you this way. When I was younger, my brother and I had pretty opposite music tastes. And one of the things he loved was Pavarotti. Anyone remember? He's a tenor and beautiful voice. I must confess, I have come around to really liking Pavarotti to the point that I wish that, back in the day when he was still performing, I actually went and hear him because he just has a beautiful voice and just sings beautifully. And on my iPod, I have not a whole lot, but I have some songs from Pavarotti, and they come on, and maybe I'm in the car, I got my iPod plugged in, and so he comes on. I don't pull over to the side of the road and applaud and say, "Bravo! Bravo!" Why? Because he's not there. But isn't it wonderful that when we're worshiping here on a Sunday morning, this is more in the second service, and after a song, and you can just feel the Spirit moving,
yeah.
People just burst into applause. And we're not applauding Henry.
No.
And you're definitely not applauding me, you would anyway, since I'm sitting down here. We're giving praise and honor to Jesus. Why? Because he's here. Or rather, we're there. Actually, it's both. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So we have this closeness and intimacy with God. We also, because of this, and this is something, brought out in verse 7 of Ephesians 2, in order in the coming ages he might show us the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Another dimension of or term of our inheritance is now we are open to or have access to the riches of His grace. Now next week, and actually this message is going to take 2 weeks. Unless we want to go to 10:30 this morning. But you know, hey, the seats are comfortable, folks. You can sit a while longer. I'm just kidding. God forgive me. One of the things about this, and I love the fact that God describes His riches, and you know, when we think of inheritance, we think of obtaining something of great value. He describes those riches as something that are bestowed upon us by grace, which indicates to us the disposition of our Heavenly Father to us, which is a disposition of both favor and of mercy. We should not be fearful, especially fearful of God. We should fear the Lord, and we should respect the Lord, but we should not be afraid of God. And what I mean by that, as a believer, you should not be afraid to die. Absent from the body, present with God. As a believer, you should not fear the rapture. You know, as a kid, you know, I'm like, I go home, nobody's there. I think I'll call Mom, make sure we haven't... I don't fear the rapture. I'm going to be caught off guard because I'm ready. I don't fear meaning, you know, I don't fear any of... I'm not afraid of God. Why? Because God's disposition to me is that of grace and of favor. And as it relates to our inheritance, I do not fear approaching the Lord Jesus Christ and asking Him in Jesus' precious name to rain down upon me. And it's not a selfish thing. Do it. God desires to rain down His blessings upon your life, not only to bless you, but to first and foremost glorify His name, that others might see, I don't have to fear. Oh, I don't know if I'm worthy enough. I'm so unworthy, God. I shouldn't receive it. If you are a child of God, you can raise up your hand. Even though you're not perfect, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from every sin. God, bless me and fill me and show your glory through me in the name of Jesus. Another aspect of our inheritance. Let me ask you today, why are you Americans? Did any of you, and I don't know about you, Molly, because I know you weren't born here, but to the other... Did any of you... Are you a citizen?
Not yet.
But you have to take a test.
Yeah, later.
Later, and we'll pray that comes to pass. But you folks, did you have to take a test and, you know, go to the courthouse and you know, do whatever they do? You know, why? Because you were born. You were free-born, as the Apostle Paul says. Big part of our inheritance is citizenship in the kingdom of God, Ephesians 2:19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of His household. And you know, we can talk about specific things as far as what that means to be a citizen of the kingdom. You know, we have rights and privileges and protections and all those different things. Essentially, what this is saying is now, because we've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, now that we are citizens of the kingdom of God, we are free. We're no longer limited by the bonds of sin and death and hell. Like, I don't fear hell because my sins were paid for on Calvary. And because I've accepted Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I don't fear, or I am free to live for Jesus, to worship Jesus, to serve Jesus, because I am a citizen of the kingdom of God. It's the mindset of the believer who is living in the inheritance of the Lord Jesus Christ is an understanding that I am free. And sin and death and hell and Satan and man no longer have any power or any authority. This morning, as we prepare to close, let me ask you regarding these three things. Do you feel close? Does, as Romans chapter 8 tells us, does the Spirit bear witness with your spirit that you are the child of God? I know as far as not now, it's not because I love them, not because I don't love them, rather, but when they were little, at any time my kids, because they were my kids and I loved them, they could jump up on my lap and give me a kiss, and I'd give them a kiss and a hug, and they could sit there, I'd say as long as they wanted, but, you know, eventually I have to kick them off. Because they're my kids. Do you have that mindset? I'm so close to God. Do you? What is your view of the Heavenly Father? Is it of the loving and Heavenly Father who sent His Son because He loves you so much to die that horrible, brutal death on Calvary? Or is He some mean ogre with a club in His hand waiting to beat the life out of you? And are you free in Jesus? You know, and let me tell you regarding sin, and listen, we need not to play with sin. And when we sin, we need to confess our sin. We need to keep a short leash on sin in the name of Jesus, because sin is deadly. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you also something about sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from sin. And as we're working out our salvation in our imperfections, it does not, our weakness and our working out our salvation with fear and trembling does not keep us from all the promises of God, which are yes and amen. Amen? We can still serve God. We can still pray. We can still worship God, even in our imperfection, in the name of Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? We're going to sing one song in closing.